Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for March the 12th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, David, and hello this evening. And I'm a little out of wind here. I just walked in from Houston after attending a veterans hearing and literally just walked in the door to start the broadcast here. I also, while I was in Houston, I also had the opportunity to go to Camp Hope, which is a refuge for homeless veterans suffering from PTSD. It's a nonprofit spiritual-based organization, and our guest tonight, Jason White, is a resident there, so he is going to be talking to us about that. Jason is from Ocala, Florida. But before we welcome Jason to the show, I want to remind our audience that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. Maybe you have a question for Jason about Camp Hope, so you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. So without any further delay, I'd like to welcome Jason to the Veterans News Hour. How are you tonight, Jason?
Good, great, great. How are you guys doing over there?
Good, good. Still a little chilly, but as I just said in my introduction, I just walked in the door from my trip to Houston and my visit with you and Camp Hope. I want to thank you for the tour that you gave me on Sunday. It was truly an inspiring visit, and I can't get over the work that is being done there. Just so inspiring, and it's something I'll never forget. Jason, briefly tell our listeners, I know you're a resident of Camp Hope, and we're going to get into that in a second, but briefly tell our listeners about your service, when you served, where you served, and specifically some of the events that resulted in your PTSD and your TBI.
Well, I'll start off. I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years. I was medically retired after my second deployment, where I was injured by an improvised explosive device, an IED, on my last tour a few weeks before I was even supposed to come home. So I came home from that deployment, obviously had those injuries, didn't even seek treatment for any of those things until I was transitioned to Quantico Marine Corps Base, where I went through the next 3 years in that duty station, and really a year and a half of an intensive outpatient program, when I realized a lot of the transition issues that I was dealing with you know, frustration and anger and, to be quite honest, outbursts and stuff like that, the anxiety, and came very well noticed not only by me but my peers, my fellow Marines, you know. And I got recommended to go to a program out there, and I spent a year and a half in that program. And I finally was medically retired. So 10 years of the military career, then I had to transition from the military to a home life. I was married at the time. I have two children. And that transition was even more difficult than transitioning from a complete, you know, combat-oriented duty station to Quantico and dealing with my issues to coming home now. So I had to, you know, be a father. I had to be a husband. I had to get back to try to find work and socialize. And those issues, again, you know, they came really to highlight. You know, I had a honeymoon phase of coming home, and I thought everything was great and good to go. I was living the life, and then started noticing again a lot of those issues that came up, the unwanted, the frustration and the anxiety heavily, and dealing with a population of people that I didn't understand, nor they didn't understand me. So it came to a point where that got overwhelming in the next 3 years, and I was had a very close friend of mine, Johnny Valentine, tell me about this place, and I was going through a divorce process, and so I had a lot of stress from that situation. And that's a lot of that led to my divorce, my issues, you know. So Johnny told me about this place called Camp Hope that he just randomly found out about for me. And he's like, hey, brother, you know, he's a fellow Marine and Army guy, a combat veteran himself. He said, you should check this place out. You know, you do a lot here. And I was really active in the veteran community at home, too. So you go out here and check it out and see what you can do. I got here within 3 days talking to these people over here at Camp Hope. Ben Green was my facilitator. He flew me out at no cost to me at all. Like I said, he was here at Camp Hope and within 3 days of even speaking to anybody. And then I started my process here. I learned
Jason, if I may just interrupt for a second, just to give our listeners a little timeline. You discharged from the Marines in 2013?
Yes, the end of 2013, I was medically retired.
Right, so from that year to year and a half prior to discharge, you were also in a PTSD program, TBI program, within the Marines.
Absolutely, a year and a half in a 4 to 6 week program.
So then from essentially 2013, 2014, up until October of 2017, you were trying to find your way in civilian life.
Absolutely.
And that included, you know, readjusting to home life with a wife, to kids, and, you know, dealing with, you know, your military career, the IED issues that you went through and while you were in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then to try to, you know, come home, be a husband and a father, essentially what was going on for those 3 years.
Absolutely, and a big part of that was, a huge part of that was a sense of purpose. My purpose in life, in my opinion at that time, was to be a United States Marine, to do my job, to serve my country, and coming out from that and trying to find some kind of objective, if you will, that was going to fulfill that need was, you know, it was very difficult for me, and I had such a hard time doing so.
And so then your friend Johnny Valentine flew you in on Camp Hope and off you go into Camp Hope. Now, Camp Hope, by and large, is about what I heard when I was there was, you know, like a 30 to a 90-day program, and you chose to stay longer.
Absolutely. There's really no set date for a program length for any set veteran that may want to come here. They have a process where they say it can be up to 6 months, but you have an option if you need to work on yourself more and deal with more of the issues that may be involved with some of your things, maybe like addiction or definitely dealing with trauma, and you have these multiple phases you go through in this program, the first being black phase, which is a 30-day phase to this, and you find yourself nearing, you know, maybe the third month, and you just say, you know, I need to work on some more things. I need to get some more things in. All you got to do is talk to what you have as a mentor. That's part of where you're staying in the Bay. There's a Bay house. It's a beautiful, beautiful where you reside at. And you're with all these other veterans, which is a peer-to-peer program, essentially. And you just go to your mentor and say, I need more time. And the first thing they say is, you have it. As long as you want to be here, you're here until, you know you're ready to go, you know. And they guide you through that process.
Now, when you arrive, I think you had indicated to me you're given a certain status, whether it's blacklist or...
Yeah, so there is black phase, there's red phase, there is yellow and green phase. So black phase starts out as 30 days. There's no contact with the outside world. This is truly to put you in a position where you're not affected by negative stimulus, outside anxieties and issues that you may have. Of course, anything legal that you need to deal with is completely dealt with your mentors. They have a family coordinator that communicates with your family. You don't have your cell phone or anything on you like that, but you're able to just focus on what you need to do for the first 30 days and get into a routine, get back into the same routine that you're used to, a very structured environment, and you start going to these peer-to-peer classes. And then you also seek, you have clinical counseling through this refuge, it's a counseling facility called the Refuge, that all the veterans go through as a group, and they do, again, peer-to-peer counseling there, and it's guided by clinical counselors. And that is the first phase, black phase of the program.
And then, so describe the different phases.
So after
what happens with that?
After black phase, you go to red phase. Red phase can be 3 to 4 months. It's still, an average about that is about 3 months. And this is when you get more phone privileges back and you can start communicating more with the outside world personally on the weekend. But red phase is that more of a progression. So you start going to the outside counseling a little more. You're really delved into all these classes that they give you here. Again, everything is peer-to-peer based. It's all faith-based oriented. And they deal with things like emotional regulation, anger management, relationship classes, and the whole process while you're in this facility. You use this, what we call the Blue Book. It's the Combat Trauma Healing Manual. And it's a pivotal part to what this program is based off of. And you can just go through it, and you have classes on this Blue Book. And that is one of the main things that you work with in the program to start transitioning from all the issues you've had and learning how to deal and handle these issues in the future and while you're here. That pretty much comes down to the red phase. As you progress through that red phase, your mentors keep such a close eye on you, and all the mentors that are here, again, are combat veterans themselves. In order for them to work here at the facility, they've had to go through the program, and that's the greatest part about it. So they're not just jumping into something they have no idea about. They've done it all. They're the same as you. They are truly your peer from head to toe. And they will evaluate you in the group between themselves and say, okay, we think this veteran may have these things to work on, or these things, he's progressing well. And then they will essentially guide you through to the next phase of, which is the yellow phase. This is that bridge between getting your one foot in and one foot out the door. In yellow phase, you start working more on the transitional things, maybe finding employment, dealing with financial issues where they have someone who comes in and donates so much time here to help these veterans deal with so many financial issues, building their credit, helping them with resumes, home loans, in so many capacities. And then you also start working on employment with trying to find work. And then it's not just about the work, though. Instead of just finding a job that you may want to be at, this program also has people that come in and donate their time, and they come in and find you a career. And that is essential to veterans. They look at all your skills you have, they kind of analyze them and put them down on paper, and then they hone those skills for something that would be much more suitable to a veteran than just a day-to-day job. It's something that they can look forward to, that they're utilizing all the skills they had in the military out now in the civilian world. And again, the networking that's done here in this community, just for these veterans here at this facility, is so immense. And really, no veteran, in that typical term, no veteran is left behind. And the community has such a huge part to play in that process. So that's
I know you had indicated when we visited that. It's based on that peer-to-peer concept and how important that peer-to-peer concept is to the veteran and recovering veteran. Why don't you tell us more about that and how it applies at Camp Hope?
The one of the main bases to this program is the peer-to-peer mentoring and just communication. So in all these groups, these individuals, the mentors, aren't clinical counselors. They do get education on what they're teaching, but again, they've been through the program. So instead of having to sit down in front of, you know, maybe a therapist every single day, these veterans go through their issues together. They sit in a room and they communicate, whether it be, you know, classes like NA or AA, the classes of anger management, transitional issues, emotional regulation. The veterans can, you know, have a time to communicate, vent, and speak on what they've experienced, what they're going through, and they get to bounce it off a room full of 15 plus, if more, veterans that all have the same experiences. They have the same understanding. Someone may be farther in their treatment or in where they are at in healing than another one, and they can give them those good words. And what this does is, because we are all combat veterans here, we are automatically have a natural relation to each other. We just understand each other better than what, unfortunately, some of the other population, let's say the civilian population, can understand us. So it just makes us comfortable, and it really helps that healing, because there's such a bond that's built through these veterans that come from all across the country, everywhere. And you may have never known them. You may never serve with them. And you may find out here that, and it's happened that, you know, I was here with a fellow veteran, and I was in the Marine Corps with his brother. And it's a tight-knit community. We are that 1%, if you say. So they're just a bond that's built. You may have had the same units and been in the same combat zone, you know, served in the same dirt, if you will. So there's just, it's a brotherhood. It's a family, and we all keep each other accountable. But at the same time, we all lean on each other for the most in-depth and intimate things that we could think about communicating about to heal that we can't do sometimes with other people.
Jason, you mentioned tight-knit community. Well, you gave me a tour of one of the, I guess we'll call them the barracks.
Yeah.
And describe that. I mean, talk about a tight-knit community. You got the kitchen, a small living area, and I think there was four or five rooms, and two or three vets are living in each room. So you're pretty close in quarters, and you've got assignments and duties every day. And why don't you describe that part of Camp Hope?
Absolutely. So there is a building that is that where the majority of the residents stay in, that are in black and red phase. Once you're out of that phase, you go to different buildings that are on the site. But inside that, there's four bays in that main big building, and it's beautiful. It was built here for the veterans to stay in. And you walk in, and you have it's a decent-sized kitchen. You have a living area. There's about 5 to 6 veterans in each bay, and about 2, if not maybe 3, in some veterans in each room, depending on the size of the room. But each bay, again, that's where another even more close bond gets built, because, and where the structure really starts is the veterans wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that sounds like early, but, you know, for us, it's not. It's put that way for these veterans to get up, get in the routine. They all have a duty in the morning, whether it be cleaning or taking care of, you know, the laundry that may have accumulated, the house laundry, if you will, not individual, but, just we all team together and do those chores, and that's what it is. And you just build this process to a structure that you get used to, you get started with, and everybody inside that bay just really lives with each other this whole entire time they're here, and they get to learn intimately about these people. And what we have this little, I wouldn't say saying, but it's something we know here that, you know, a lot of healing comes from outside the classes as well, inside those bays where it's so informal, and veterans may have had a hard day, dealt with something that was difficult in one of the classes, and they get to go back to that bay with their fellow brothers, and they get to lean on them right then and there. And the magic about that is they're not in a classroom. They are just continuing this healing inside a bay, inside with each other, and they just get that feedback again, and it's all day long. And they can go out to the fire pit right in front of the barracks, if you will, and they can do the same thing with other members from the bank. And so then you have the structure that you have every single day, and physical fitness is huge into that. So they have a gym every day. You're required to go to the gym, and that's where you get this, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And you have church, so all the veterans go to church together. But and a lot of healing, definitely, like I said, comes from being inside that house and just being that close in quarters with people. And there's good times and bad, but that's where they learn how to communicate, even with not only each other, but how to mediate their own issues. They have a bay leader and a co-bay leader that kind of, again, they're residents, but they get appointed that position, and they get to guide these people on some of the things that they do when it comes to keeping them accountable for doing their chores and getting up in the morning and cleaning up after themselves. And, you know, we have house dinners. I love to cook, and I used to cook for the whole bay all the time. And that's something that happens so regularly. The bays get together and have chili cook-offs. So they get together and have a good time. They eat and sleep and go to church together, and then they heal together.
I also... You were talking about one issue. We were in that one room where my friend, the lady, she took that picture of me and had all this stuff about anger. And you were telling a story about how, you know, there was a veteran, and the veteran had to talk about himself.
And then you
even talked about your own self in this. And then that was pretty powerful. Why don't you tell us about that?
So, and one of the things that we do in these classes is what's said in these classes stays in the class. Whoever's in that class, that information doesn't get put out to everywhere else. But you learn about these tools. And obviously these tools communicate, you know, outside those walls. But anger is a huge part of what happens. And I'll say this for myself. It's what happened for me. Well, I wasn't able to recognize these emotions that are flooding upon me when I got out of the military. I didn't understand them. I was, you know, essentially learned to push these things back, these feelings, these natural feelings. And what happened in turn, it transitioned to these anger responses. So that's a huge class they have here. And they break it down to a point where we can just understand where it's coming from through our experiences. We may say, this happened to me, and this is how I responded. And we look at it and say, wow, we could have responded so much differently. And our experience of mine in that classroom was where we were going over things that we were either thought of ourselves, self-worth issues that may come up. And we all had to speak something negative to an individual, and he was just a person standing there, and the purpose wasn't to talk negative about him, but it was a symbolism of these things we're saying is what we believe about ourselves. So we had to stand there and say that, and it was so difficult to do, because as I was saying it, this is something I had to experience in my belief of myself, and I could barely get it out, but I had to stand there and watch, you know, myself say it to somebody else, as we've maybe heard it from some other people in our own life, say it to us. And at the end of that class, because we're talking about self-worth and how we're valued and how we feel like we maybe not be valued because of whatever issues may have gone through, not only in combat, but from in your life, one of the mentors stands up, walks to the door, and he puts a mirror right in front of that door as we're walking out. And he says, every single one of you now has to look inside this mirror, look directly at yourself, and say something positive about yourself. Veterans go out and they say these things, and that's an emotional process because you just go through something so difficult emotionally. You're able, you know, there are tears shed here, and it's fully welcome. Veterans will, you know, be there for you when you do that, but veterans walked out that door. They said positive things. It comes to my time. I'm the last veteran that goes. You know, I'm trying to put this off for so long, even though I know I had to face it. But I walked up to that mirror, and I had to look in it and say something positive. And the mentor at the time, he just said, I said something positive, but it was really a general statement. And he said, no, not going to happen in this classroom. He said, look back in that mirror and say something again. And because of my own issues that I've had to deal with my entire life, and especially through combat and coming home, this process of self-worth, I couldn't even say it. I couldn't even get it out. And I started crying. I started getting frustrated, and I barely uttered those words out. But as I did that, you know, I was surrounded by these brothers, surrounded by love, and Ron is one of the mentors here. He's the one that gave that class. Phenomenal here at what he does. And, you know, he was just there for me, you know, and he helped me get that process out. And that's the greatest thing about those classes is they push you. They don't let you sit and wallow in these things. They don't let you stop and you know, work the system. We are all combat veterans. We know each other, and we've done it all before. So we know, you know, when one of us is working the system, and they won't let that happen, period. They will push you and push you, and you sit there and you learn how to be pushed harder through these things that you need to be pushed harder through because you cannot keep them in anymore. And that was one of my defining moments in this program where I said, wow, there are some things I didn't even realize that I was going through or I was dealing with that affected me this much, and I have to do that, and I have to work on that. And then from that point on, it was really like just a journey through this program, and I've been lucky enough to be able to now go home and bring this program back home to Florida and do what we call as warrior groups, and we can talk about that even more.
Yeah, before we get on to that, and I just wanted to say, Jason, you know, what you just described for yourself and what you went through is, you know, very, very tough. And, you know, at one time, you know, you were suicidal. I mean, at one time, you know, you were on the brink of, what do we say, you know, checking out, and you've gone through that, you know, that bubble and kind of come out on the other side. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, very impressive, very impressive, I have to say. I've known you for a few years now.
That's right. I appreciate that. It was a difficult time to the point where, and that's a lot of, you know, that's where we get that number 22 from. Veterans get fed up with everything they cannot deal with. They cannot go through the emotions, and it gets to a brink where they, you know, at times, you mean, they feel like it's better off that, you know, I do this. And that's completely the opposite, because there's places like this with veterans that are here that will not let that happen. They will not. And then really that's what people are here for, is that's one of the main missions is to reduce that 22. And I could tell you from, you know, experience, I've seen how that, what has happened here affects that number of 22 and how it can reduce it by this peer-to-peer communication with each other and just having each other to go through these issues together.
You know, when I was there, I had the opportunity to share my own recovery. I've been, you know, in recovery now for 10 and a half years. And I see so many similarities between what I went through early on and what you're going through at Camp Hope. And so it sounds to me that you do have a 12-step program going on at Camp Hope.
Yes, there is AA and NA, and they also do a CR, or Celebrate Recovery. So they really reach out to everybody's issue that they may have, and they may not feel comfortable at NA, but they, or AA, and they want to go to Celebrate Recovery, which is a faith-based recovery program. But absolutely, that is even a requirement. Every Monday, there is an AA program. And, you know, you have 70-plus veterans just sitting in groups and talking about what they've been through. Again, they do it,
you know,
with each other.
I think this is a good time, too, because so many times when we're dealing with the VA and the compensation side of the VA, and you're dealing with someone who's got PTSD or depression, anxiety, you know, the VA likes to throw it in their face that they were, you know, they were an alcoholic, they were into drugs, and try to blame that on their condition rather than the PTSD. And the one thing that you and I had talked about is the fact that the alcohol and the drugs is a symptom. And, you know, and that's so important for the veteran to realize that, that once we get rid of the alcohol and the drugs, now we can start dealing with ourselves.
And that is exactly why they have these those 12 steps here, because when the veterans are listening to this, they need to understand that that is a clinical statement that you just made, that the use of substances, whether it be drugs or alcohol, is a symptom of trauma. Post-traumatic stress disorder comes from experiencing trauma, and that could be from prior combat to combat to anything in your life that can be considered a trauma, but it is a symptom. Now, yes, absolutely, it is a choice that we have made at times to use those substances to cope with those issues. It's negative coping. But veterans, again, like you said, they learn here that that's a symptom, but it also is a choice. And now they learn that they don't have to succumb themselves to that symptom and make that choice to use that substance. They can have a different outlet and a different way to be able to get through those issues. It may be tough, it may be hard, but it's not anything harder than we've had to experience our entire life. And once we do, we start that healing process.
Now, Camp Hope is a nonprofit organization, right?
Absolutely. It's a 501c3. Also, it's a faith-based program. So everything that's given or donated to this program comes purely from the community support. Out here in Houston, it's amazing. And it reminds me so much of Florida, of Ocala, and what I did at home, where there's so much community support. And obviously, because this state, and along with Florida, has a huge population of veterans. So another thing veterans don't realize sometimes, and I know I didn't before, that, you know, we have a lot of support from our fellow citizens, and it's shown here on a daily basis.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those buildings that were donated. What is the Weatherford Company?
Yes, the Weatherford House.
It's like a modular home.
Absolutely, it's a fabricated quad con, if you will. Military will understand that phrase, but they built it. It's donated to a veteran who may graduate from this program. They can live on this facility. They can be in that house. It's beautiful inside. It's absolutely beautiful. They can live in that house, and they can come and go freely, but they have a safe place to always come back to. That veteran can either, you know, take that and bring it with them somewhere and put it on a piece of land, or they can leave it here, and they're going to be building more, and they have more of that. And now across that street there that we walked down up and on, I think you remember that, across the street, they're building a whole other building, like the barracks, the big building, the barracks that I showed you, we had a tour of. And now they're adding a process to where not only the veteran can come here, but the veteran and his whole family can be in this house that they're building in construction right now. So now the veteran doesn't have to be here alone. They can go through this program, and so can their spouses, and their children, because that is a pivotal part of the healing, is your spouse that you've made, you know, can come to the secondary trauma, the secondary PTSD, can learn how to not only deal with their issues, but now understand where yours come from. And that's where we get into the warrior groups.
Now, you talked about, you know, the recovery and the peer-to-peer group and everything else. So now you get ready to get out. And one of the things to kind of have to deal with, I'm sure, I know you and I talked about it in your own situation, are financial matters, credit matters. And you indicated to me that you've got a lady there that, as you described her, she's just an amazing woman and what she can do. And why don't you fill us in on that? Because that's the next step as you're moving out of Camp Hope.
Absolutely. Her name is Tasha Tipton. She is a financial advisor. She comes here and donates her time for these veterans. And she, it's on to every Tuesday. She is here at, you know, right at the time this, you know, this place opens up, if you will, around 8 o'clock. She is here, and veterans are lined up on a list waiting to see her. And we have a nickname. We call it a wizard, if you will. She works magic with your credit. She works with companies and your and creditors and just everything that you're going through to really just consolidate those things or help you build your credit back up, put you on the right track, get you a budget, and looks at every penny you spend and gives you a way to now not only, you know, save money but exceed in this process, and gives you so much guidance through how to handle your finances that you may have not, you know, had the greatest idea on. But all of her time here is completely donated. She comes here on other days sometimes, just when she has the ability to do that, to come back and reach out to the veterans she has maybe dealing with on a more constant basis to keep up on those issues and transition out of here with that, with, you know, a great start.
You know, one of the, again, some of the things I picked up is the concept of paying it forward and how all the veterans want to do that for themselves and going on in their life. And that's one of the things that you're doing. You're leaving on Friday, and I'm very happy for you, and congratulations on your graduation from Camp Hope. And you're coming back to Ocala with the intention of paying it forward based upon the experiences that you've had at Camp Hope since October. Why don't you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So the concept behind that is, like I said, to be able to do anything for this program, you have to go through this program. I had the ability to, and the fortunate opportunity to go through it. And one thing I pulled out that was really specific was the warrior groups. These warrior groups are set up for combat. We have them every Tuesday and Thursday. Our combat veterans coming in to a group, and they just talk about their issues. They can have any subject you can imagine. They can just vent. Now, we do have a guided process to that at times. We use the Blue Book, the Combat Trauma Healing Manual, to go through that. But veterans can sit down in front of each other, and this is what I had to go through in Iraq. This is what I had to see. This is what I had to do. This is what I had to experience. This is what I have to experience outside of that. This is what I'm dealing with out at, in home life. And we can... and we just communicate. That is a huge pivotal part of this program, is the warrior groups. So that is what I'm doing, is I'm going to go home, and I'm bringing home the warrior group, doing outreach to get other veterans in the community and surrounding areas in Ocala, Marion County, and surrounding counties, to get warrior groups together where veterans can come at a certain time of the month, a couple times, if not more, sit down and hang out with each other, have coffee, and again, everything that's said in that group stays there. It doesn't go outside those walls, and they can get everything off themselves that they've ever had to deal with around a table full of their fellow combat veterans. And that is a huge part of that healing. And again, I can't explain to you enough that my own experiences through that, that's what made me want to say, I want to take that home. This is what we need, is this peer-to-peer you know, healing with each other. And so that's what I'll be doing, is doing outreach through the warrior groups. And it'll start with one or two, and then we're going to start, you know, branching them out to other parts of the community, different towns and different counties. And hopefully we can stretch all of Florida to get this going, because that is the start to where these veterans can have a place to go that's outside of clinical counseling, outside the VA, and just talk about the stuff they need to talk about. And then if they so need to, if they are struggling with those issues, if they need to come to Camp Hope, that's what I'm for. They can come talk to me, and I can get a hold of Ben Green and some of the other mentors here, and within days, or, you know, and without any hesitation, send them here to do the program and get that same healing and with open arms.
It's really, I'm just sitting back thinking, what a great thing you're doing. You know, having known you for the last 3 years, I know what you've been through. I know the uphill battles that you've faced and are going to continue to face. I mean, you have a severe case of PTSD, and but you're obviously figuring a way to cope with it, which is really all we can ask. And one of the things that what struck me when I arrived yesterday to Camp Hope and you guys were all in services, my first thing was, oh, I wonder what Jason looks like now. It's been 4 or 5 months since I've seen him. And I heard your voice. And I go, oh, there he is. And then I turned and I just said your name because I knew you'd respond to that. And I couldn't believe how well you looked. And obviously, it's been a remarkable thing for you. And I'm really, really happy for you and excited for you. How would someone listening to us or a family member listening to us reach out to Camp Hope if they had somebody that they wanted to bring there?
They would go on to the Camp Hope PTSD Foundation website, and they can get in contact with some of the mentors or Ben Green himself, and they're able to just call and say, hey, I think I need to be here, and I want to start that process. And from there, they welcome you with open arms and able to do that. Now, I do have a number for the PTSD Foundation and Camp Hope.
Yeah, why don't you give those out?
Well, they have a combat trauma support line, which is 1-877-717-7873. And
why don't you give that one again, Jason? Give the numbers out at least twice, so if anyone's writing them down, they can get it down.
Absolutely. Again, the combat trauma support line is 1-877-717-7873, and a direct contact for Camp Hope, the PTSD office, is 832-912-4429. Again, that is 832-912-4429, and they can get a hold of the front office here at Camp Hope, where someone is here every single day. Again, another volunteer or a resident that is essentially standing guard at the phone, waiting for a veteran to call and say, you know, I need this, and they will start that process to bring you here and get your healing done.
I know the pastor would also welcome anybody who would like to be a sponsor or somehow be a benefactor. Isn't that correct? Jason?
Yes.
I said I assume that the pastor would welcome anybody who'd want to be a sponsor, a financial sponsor, or a contributor. Is there a way, how would somebody want, if they wanted to do that, how would they get in touch with Camp Hope?
Absolutely. And again, you can call the front office phone number at 832-912-4429, or they can go onto the www.ptsdusa.org and do that process through there. I do recommend calling that front office and the front office number, and you have a direct connection right to someone that's at those phones, and we will, absolutely appreciate the help that the community gives to these veterans here.
And finally, I should have asked this earlier on, give or take numbers, how many veterans are there at any given time? I think yesterday I saw about 70 to 80.
Absolutely, and that's correct. Because of the transitioning process, some of the veterans are leaving and coming and going. But on average, since I've been here, we've had about 70 to 80 veterans. Now, when this program started years ago, there was maybe like 10 veterans, and it's gone from that to these huge houses for 4 bays plus 2 other homes, which consist of the other transitioning veterans. But at any given time, 70, 80 veterans and all healing together.
And it also covers quite a range of military combats. I met a veteran from the Vietnam era. Yes. I think most of them were Iraq, Afghanistan, but you do have older vets there.
Absolutely, and that is the best thing about this, too, is because not only you don't have to be an Iraq or Afghanistan vet, you can be a Vietnam vet, you can be a Desert Storm vet, you can be in Panama, whatever combat zone you served in, if you want to come here, open arms. Come on, and we're here for you.
Well, that's great. Hey, Jason, I want to thank you very much for, being my host out there yesterday at Camp Hope. It was a terrific experience for me, and the later really enjoyed it as well. And I want to congratulate you on what you've done with your life. I know it's been a lot of hard work, and you know you've got a lot more ahead of you, but you've done a great job, and we welcome you home on Friday. And anything I can do to help you with your warrior program, please let me know. And we'll be in touch very soon because we got...
Can I ask a question real quick?
Take care of ourselves. Yeah, David, go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, Jason, I'd like to thank you for being on our show. Since the VA has so many programs for veterans, based on either your own experience and the experience of veterans that you've met there at Camp Hope and elsewhere, what do you think it is about the VA treatment or programs for veterans with PTSD that isn't working, at least for some of the veterans? I'm not saying it's not working for all veterans, but for the veterans that find themselves looking to Camp Hope, for instance, which is a non-governmental charitable organization, what is it about the VA services that just don't work for some veterans, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I just think that at times the VA gets overloaded, and say, whether it be individual counseling that a veteran may be going to at the VA, the counselor themselves, the psychologist, the psychiatrist, is overloaded. They have numerous veterans that they see on a daily basis and a weekly basis, a monthly basis. And, you know, they may not even know their name until they open that file that morning and say, oh, okay, I remember this guy comes in this once a week or every month or so on. It's just not as personal. It's not as personal. It's not as intimate when it comes down to that. I think that word is fitting. And this is where that place is. It's intimate. It's personal. It is combat vets helping combat vets. Veterans and helping fellow veterans through the process.
You know, and that's real important because, you know, I think about some of the, you know, our clients who have to go in for a PTSD C&P exam, and the young lady who's barely, you know, out of college, who obviously has nothing to do with the military, starts asking this veteran questions about, you know, the trauma that he experienced or she experienced while serving. And the veteran just looks at this woman like, you have no clue. So at Camp Hope, you got all these people who you understand each other.
And that's exactly what it is. We understand each other because we are each other in a sense, if that makes sense. We are and have been through the same exact things and dealt with the same issues. Maybe a different story, of course. Everybody's individual stories may be different, but we've all had to deal with it.
Well, Jason, once again, thank you very much. We're about done with the show here. We're about to lose our time, and I want to thank you for being a guest on our show, Veteran News Hour, and I look forward to seeing you when you return to Ocala.
Thanks,
Jason. I appreciate you guys. And again, Richard, thank you for coming up here, representing me at my hearing. It meant the world to me, the extent that you guys go. For veterans yourself, so that really means a lot. And these veterans here, they really, you know, respected that about you. So I appreciate you and everything you guys doing at home, and I look forward to coming back.
Thank you.
Take care and safe journey.
Number five.
Well, David, that was pretty terrific, and I'm going to turn it back to you to kind of finish up and tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Jason White. Again, Marine Corps veteran of 10 years of military service, combat tours, multiple combat tours, just telling us about his experience at Camp Hope, which is run by the PTSD Foundation of America. Jason gave out some phone numbers. I'll repeat the website, PTSDUSA.org. That's PTSDUSA.org. And some of our loyal listeners will recall that back on September 11, 2017, one of our guests that on that evening show was David Malsby, who's the executive director of Camp Hope. So if you're interested in going back and learning more from the executive director's perspective, listen to our September 11th archive podcast. And tonight's show with Jason White's interview will be a podcast available as well within a few days. I'd like to thank him again. We've got just a couple minutes remaining, so I'd just like to highlight a couple issues before we go to our closing, and in some veteran-related news. An issue that we've talked about a lot over the last 6 months has been the issue of open burn pits, which were used in Iraq and Afghanistan, causing various cancers as well as respiratory diseases in veterans. There's been over 100,000 veterans that have signed up on the VA's burn pit registry, but we think that's a very low number. The number's much higher. We've been following this issue. There's a burn pits documentary called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. You can check out their Facebook page for burn pits documentary. But the breaking news I want to mention is that Congressman Gus Bilirakis, who's from Tarpon Springs, Florida, which is the Bay Area of Florida, he's the second-ranking Republican on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and he and his staff are right now working on legislation which the ultimate goal is to require the VA, for purposes of disability compensation claims, to presume that certain diseases that are caused by burn pit exposure will be service-connected for disability compensation purposes. My caveat is we've still got a long ways to go. That legislation hasn't even been formalized yet, let alone received a hearing or votes yet in the Congress, but it's a very positive development, on the other hand, that we have a relatively powerful veterans committee, Congressman Gus Bilirakis, who has finally taken this interest in this issue. The other quick news I want to mention, and this is kind of a segue to what our guest Jason White was talking about, which is the issue of PTSD. And many veterans, some veterans come back from their service and they've been discharged with a poor quality of service characterization, like dishonorable, bad conduct discharge, or under other than honorable, which has the effect of keeping them from receiving VA benefits. So that's a big showstopper that a lot of people don't realize. Even a lot of people serving in the military don't realize it until they've left and they're veterans and they're seeking VA help and they realize that their unfavorable discharge characterization is a bar. The breaking news is that Yale Law School students, they have a veterans clinic that they have instituted a federal class action lawsuit against the Navy for the Navy Board for Correction of Military Records, which covers both the Navy and the Marine Corps, that their history in recent years of in 85% of the cases in which veterans are trying to upgrade their discharges because of their PTSD, the Navy was denying them. So class action lawsuit, we're going to follow that in future shows. But we're about out of time tonight. We'd like to thank everyone for listening. I'd like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We invite our listeners to become guests on our show, sponsors and advertisers. I'd like you to tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.